Welcome to the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is John Solly. I'm the Senior Digital Editor here at Pro Football Weekly. You can find me on Twitter at JSolly. I'm joined by our Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football expert, Arthur Arkish. You can follow him on Twitter at Arthur Arkish. Arthur, how are you doing today?
Excellent. What's happening, John? How are you?
I'm great. What's happening is we have a special announcement. We are going to be doing a live podcast broadcast on October 19th, that is Wednesday, October 19th, at Goal Line Sports Bar and Grill, located in downtown Crystal Lake. That is 85 Brink Street in Crystal Lake, Goal Line Sports Bar and Grill. You can come hang out with myself, with Arthur, Hub Arkish will be there, Kevin Fishbane will be there. We're going to break down Bears-Packers. We're going to give you our fantasy thoughts on Bears-Packers. We're going to break down all the games, and we're going to take your questions. So come to Goal Line Sports Bar and Grill between 6 and 8 on October 19th. That's 85 Brink Street in Crystal Lake. We're going to help you out with your fantasy team this week, and you get to hang out with us, Arthur. I don't think there's really anything better than that.
I think it should be a lot of fun, John. Listeners can hear the panic come over me when you ask me for a bold call every week, but wouldn't it be more fun to actually see it in person as we're all scrambling to come up with stuff that we should have well in advance?
I'm not sure how much of a selling point of come see some nervous sweating from Arthur Arkish is, but we're also going to have a Budweiser tasting girl will be there. I just got that confirmed from Laura Shaw, our director of publishing at Shaw Media. So you can come drink some Budweiser and talk some fantasy football. And then I think we'll probably all watch the Cubs game 4 in the NLCS. So that sounds like a good night at Goal Line Sports Bar and Grill in Crystal Lake.
A continuation of the nervous sweating for sure once the Cubs get going. So, yeah, should be a lot of fun in a strange sort of way. But, no, we encourage everyone to come. Should be a good time.
Yeah, come on out. It'll be a good time. Let's Arthur, let's get to breaking down some games. That's why you tuned into this podcast. So we're not going to do the Thursday game. We're taping this Thursday afternoon. Really not a lot of great fantasy plays to begin with anyway. So we're going to skip right ahead to Sunday. Cincinnati at New England is the first game on deck. 47 is the over-under. New England favored by 9. Arthur, the Tom Brady revenge tour continues, and I don't think it's stopping anytime soon, especially against the Bengals defense on the road. How about you?
Yeah, that was a pretty decent start for Terrific Tom. Obviously, wasn't any rust to be knocked off, but it was pretty fun. It was certainly eye-opening just to see the kind of assimilating of his new weapons. That's what I was as anxious to see as Tom being rusty, because I didn't expect that. But, boy, you couldn't expect it to go much better for Martellus Bennett or Chris Hogan. I guess you could hope for a touchdown from Hogan. But that was kind of the big takeaway for me. It's the same old Tom, but with the new weapons. And I think Martellus Bennett, and I might be on the minority on this one, but I think both Gronk and Martellus are tight end ones the rest of the way. What do you think?
I totally agree, Gronk. Gronkowski saw a double-digit increase in routes run, so he is getting healthier, and obviously we know Brady has a history of loving to throw to him, and this is looking more and more like the two tight end set that Patriots were running back when they had Aaron Hernandez and that stellar offense. So I think Bennett just slides into that role just fine. I think Edelman probably sees a few more targets too. Chris Hogan had a nice game. I don't know how sustainable that is, though.
Yeah, it was interesting actually to hear Brady say that Hogan was the last guy he envisioned hitting on that long. I don't remember if it was a 60-yarder or something, the one up the right sideline. So that was kind of funny to me, but I don't know. I think he brings a different speed element to the offense, so I wouldn't be stunned. And it was kind of a continuation of Hogan's strong preseason. So I wouldn't expect 100 yards each game, but I think he can remain a viable fantasy asset.
All right, let's move on to the next game. And Arthur, I'm so happy because this is the last time we ever have to talk about Mark Trestman. I think he's done in the league, and we get to stop talking about his offense. But the Baltimore Ravens got rid of him this week and put in Marty Morenwig. Now we've got Baltimore and the Giants. 44.5 is the over-under. Giants favored by 3 at home. From a fantasy perspective, how different does this offense look with Marty Ball as opposed to Trestman on the Baltimore side?
I mean, I think that the kind of the genesis of the move for John Harbaugh was because they weren't running the football enough. I know that's pretty simplistic, but you can kind of tell me if you see it differently. The Ravens had almost a 2-to-1 pass to run ratio, despite having either the number 2 or number 3 defense in the league. So obviously for Bears fans, this sounds familiar, not only from the Trestman days, but maybe from what they've seen the past couple of weeks with Dowell Loggins. But yeah, no, I'd anticipate Terrence West getting the run that he deserves. How he only got the ball 9 or 10 times last week was pretty bizarre.
And he still ran for 95 yards.
Exactly. So he's so efficient, and then you just refuse to give it to him. So maybe I'm not reading into it enough, and I haven't read a lot locally on what they're saying in Baltimore. Maybe you have, but that's kind of the big takeaway I have, is a lot more Terrence West, maybe eventually Kenneth Dixon. But we'll see. You know, Steve Smith's injury makes it kind of an interesting week for Joe Flacco. Is it Breshad Perriman? Does Kamar Aiken get back into the circle of trust? I mean, what do you think happens assuming Steve Smith doesn't go? I think he was still a non-practicer as of Thursday.
And Mike Wallace is a little banged up too. So I think if there's one guy I'm looking at in the Ravens passing game, and he may be available on waivers, is Breshad Perriman. That's kind of the one guy I'm looking at in the passing game. And I agree with you on West. So efficient, and now I think he's finally going to get the carries. Marty Morenwig has been a really good offense, a really solid offensive coordinator in the NFL for a long time with a bunch of teams. I don't think he's ever had an offense finish in the bottom half in the NFL. So I think Baltimore's offense gets that balance back, gets improvements. So Terrence West for sure this week, Kenneth Dixon maybe down the road. And right now in the passing game, it's Perriman and probably Pitta.
I'm glad you said the other P. Yep, Dennis Pitta. The Giants have struggled to defend tight ends. And we should point out the one thing the Giants have not struggled to do is defend the run. So we're not really, you know, I mean, if you have Terrence West, you're going to play him. You're going to ride the hot hand. But I would say be caught, you know, kind of a little reserved with your expectations this week, just because that is a pretty good run defense the Giants are marching out there.
Anybody you like on the Giants side of this? The one guy that comes to mind, obviously you're starting Beckham if you have him, but maybe Will Tye?
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, I hadn't given Will Tye a ton of thought, but I suppose you know, he could make for kind of a out of left field play. I guess I don't have the numbers how the Ravens are defending tight ends in front of me, but
The Giants, they're okay against tight ends. They're okay. You know, the corners have been pretty good this year. I mean, let's be honest, the corners have been pretty. The whole defense has been pretty good, but if you attack them, I think it's over right. The middle. So maybe Will Tye.
Okay, yeah, I mean, that's probably a DFS play. I don't think anyone's running to start him in season-long leagues. But, John, there's something about this Giants team right now that just is amiss, and that they don't give me a good feeling, not even Odell. I just it seems like this unit can't do anything right now.
All right, let's move on to a game. And I heard this term the other day, that the Superdome is the Coors Field of the NFL, where you just go there and you expect all sorts of points to happen. I think that's a pretty good term. For what New Orleans is at home. So Carolina at New Orleans, 53.5 is the over-under as of this taping, with Carolina favored by 3. Cam Newton has practiced 2 days in a row, so I think it's really likely you're going to see Cam out there. I think I have no trouble firing him up, along with anybody else playing this game. This is a smoke 'em if you got 'em game, I think. How about you?
Yeah, I like that term. I was going to make a joke about, I don't know the name of the Panthers stadium, but that might be a Coors Field away from the Superdome, the way the Panthers defense is playing. But no, they're obviously on the road this week, and the Saints are coming off the bye, so they should be recharged and ready to go. Obviously, both of these teams already in a bit of desperation, but you know, Jonathan Stewart is the one interesting one, even after Cameron Artis Payne's big game last week. I think Jay Stu's ready to make his return, and along with Cam, that should bode pretty well for the Panthers offense. On the Satan side of things, you know, Michael Thomas almost dipped below 50% on Yahoo. A lot of people had to go get a kicker, defense do whatever during the bye week. So Thomas very quietly is the leading receiver for the Saints, has touchdowns and 2 straight. And clearly there's enough to go around, even with Snead and Cooks and now Fleener also getting involved.
And he's seen increased red zone targets too. So I think Thomas maybe. I mean, look, Drew Brees is going to spread around to everybody, but if Thomas is available, go pick him up in DFS. He's pretty cheap this week. I think he's like $2,000 cheaper than Willie Snead, $3,000 cheaper than Brandon Cooks. So I like Michael Thomas, especially with DFS roster construction this week. So, if you got him, play him in this one. That's the analysis you tune in for. Pittsburgh at Miami. Let's move on to the next one. 48 is the over-under. Pittsburgh favored by 7.5 on the road. One kind of stat that sticks out to me, Le'Veon Bell, he's run 35 routes since coming back, and he hasn't hit the end zone yet. This feels like a week where Bell can he's going to be great anyway. He's got a high floor, but his ceiling seems limitless this week against that Miami defense.
Yeah, I hope people remember that we kind of said that here, that as long as the Steelers had issues after Antonio Brown in the receiving game, you could see more of Le'Veon Bell lining up out in the formation, and certainly we have seen that. So, look, he's my number one player regardless of position this week, Le'Veon Bell. I have Ben Roethlisberger as my QB1, and Antonio Brown is my WR1. So let's continue that that great analysis from the Carolina-New Orleans matchup. If you have Steelers, you probably want to play them this week.
Wheels up on the Steelers. How about on the Miami side? Jarvis Landry only got like 3 targets last week. I fully expect that to change this week, especially because Pittsburgh tends to struggle against guys inside.
Yeah, I think so. And even Devontae Parker, I mean, we know the Dolphins aren't going to play a ton of defense. The Steelers are absolutely just out of control offensively right now. So Tannehill, when he is fantasy relevant, it's when he's forced to chuck it a bunch. The Steelers' pass rush hasn't really ignited yet. That's been kind of the bane of Tannehill's existence, is any form of rush. He's just not feeling pressure whatsoever. So, yeah, I think you're going to play both of those Dolphins receivers. And, you know, I'm not really very excited about anything Tannehill is doing right now, but again, it's those garbage time games where he does have a chance to put up some decent numbers.
All right, let's move on to the next game. Jacksonville at Chicago. Bears are favored by 2.5 at home. The over under is 46. I feel like this is a week where Allen Robinson has the potential to finally get loose. I know he scored twice in a game earlier, but he only had like 50 yards. I think this is a game where he gets back to being force fed, and I'm not sure the Bears defense has the horses to keep up with him. Where are you on Robinson this week?
Yeah, I'm right there with you, John. The Bears cornerback situation is dire right now. I believe they just completed their Thursday practice with like their top three of their top four or top four corners all down. So there is trouble brewing. No, not good. And I do think it's just a normal day off for Tracy Porter. But even after that, number two corner Bryce Callahan has a hamstring. I don't expect him to play. DeAndre Hall, the rookie who has shown so many good things in his limited opportunities, has an ankle injury. I don't expect him to go. So it looks like it could be more Jacoby Glenn. He's the guy who led up the game winner to T.Y. Hilton last week. So yeah, I couldn't agree more. Not only Allen Robinson, but maybe Allen Hurns finds a way to kind of carry over what he did with that game winner in London. And, you know, really the key to that Jaguars offense getting it going, it wasn't even the passing game. It was T.J. Yeldon finally getting going. So the Bears have been fairly tough against the run, and they have both of their inside backers back now. But I know that the Jaguars are going to acknowledge that that's what got things going, and maybe T.J. Yeldon owners will finally start feeling something other than frustration.
Yeah, I like Jordan Howard a lot this week, too. I think that keeps going. He got like 84% of their carries last week, and he's going to be the bell cow for a while, isn't he?
Yeah, no doubt about it. But the only problem there, John, is 84% of their carries was 18 carries in a one-score game.
They didn't have to run the ball more.
It's ridiculous. I mean, Howard getting 16 carries and averaging whatever it was, over 6 a pop. I don't know how Dal Loggins sleeps at night. I'm sorry to say it. I like Dal, but it's not off to a great start for him. And obviously they're racking up a ton of yardage, but they need to find a way to score. So yeah, undoubtedly Howard's going to be in your lineup. And Alshon, they keep saying they won't force it to him. So unlike what you just said with Allen Robinson in Jacksonville, the Bears are going to continue to look other directions until defenses kind of adjust. So maybe that means more Cameron Meredith.
Cam Meredith.
Yeah, he went off last week. And, you know, the most encouraging part about Cameron Meredith, this breakout performance, was that after he had the killer fumble, they went right back to him. So that was something I noticed and something that both Hoyer and Cam admitted yesterday. So, yeah, you're going to fire up. You know, the Jaguars defense has been playing a little bit better, but, you know, you're going to roll with your Bears offense guys too, as long as that unit stays hot.
All right, let's move on to the next one. San Francisco at Buffalo. 44 is the over-under. Buffalo favored by 9 at home. LeSean McCoy has been stellar, and this has been against some pretty good defenses to start. The defenses that he's faced allow about 3.8, 3.9 yards a carry, and LeSean McCoy is averaging about 5-plus a carry. And now he gets the 49ers defense, which has been an absolute sieve, and they've played at a fast pace, so there's going to be more touches for LeSean McCoy. He's my RB1 this week, I think. Or no, he's my RB2 this week, just behind Bell. I think he's in the same spot for you as well, Arthur.
Yes, sir. You know, you might be surprised by guys like Lorenzo Alexander and Nickell Roby, some of the guys doing it for the Buffalo defense, but it's absolutely who you'd expect to be carrying the offense right now. Shady McCoy has just been on fire since Anthony Lynn's promotion to the offensive coordinator role. You mentioned the San Francisco defensive struggles, especially after losing Navarro Bowman. They have to go all the way across country. You mentioned the pace. So, yeah, McCoy is an outstanding play. The question is anyone else relevant for Buffalo? So Tyrod Taylor maybe is a fringe QB1 guy, probably an upper-tier QB2 guy. And then Charles Clay, I think, might be the sneaky play. No one else finding ways to step up. Actually, Robert Woods, Tyrod missed him on a deep touchdown last week. But Charles Clay seems to maybe be finally coming on. And maybe you could do a lot worse if you're looking for a DFS type of contrarian play.
Yeah, I don't love Robert Woods this week. I liked him more in previous weeks. But, yeah, I'm totally with you on Clay. Any interest in Kaepernick as a stash?
Yeah, I went and grabbed him in my 2QB league. I managed to totally bungle it because I had him. It's a long story, but I ended up wasting a bunch of my budget that I didn't need to. But I think that speaks to my intrigue with Colin Kaepernick and Chip Kelly. We waited however many months to see it. Now the time has arrived, and I think he is going to be held down by the lack of skill position talent on the Niners, which I think is probably the worst in the NFL. But nonetheless, if Blaine Gabbert can lead the NFL in quarterbacks for rushing, just think about what Kaepernick has a chance to do in that offense.
All right, let's move on to the next one. Rams at Detroit, 43.5 is the over. Under Detroit, favored by 3 at home. Haloti Ngata is out, which makes me a lot more interested in Todd Gurley this week. How about you, Arthur?
Yes, sir. I have Todd Gurley as my RB7. I do think this is the week that he gets going. He better, because the Rams are now, you know, their backs are kind of against the wall a little bit again. This is sort of the battle of the embattled coaches, if you will. But yeah, that Detroit defense already without, well, they may actually get Anta back this week. I don't think Levy's coming back yet. So to lose another key member in the middle of that defense, it should be, you know, we're running out of excuses for Todd Gurley. So we'll see if this is the week he gets going. There's no one else in that Rams offense that's going to excite you, obviously.
And the Rams are going to be missing cornerback Tremaine Johnson. So do you have any interest in Marvin Jones? He had that hot start, kind of slowed down a little bit. Where's your interest in Marvin Jones if Johnson's out?
Yeah, I've got Jones as a number 9 overall this week, WR4. I mean, look, the dude's leading the NFL in receiving yards. And like you said, the Rams without their franchise corner, I don't see any reason why Marvin Jones doesn't keep it going. It'll be interesting to see if Golden Tate can sort of regain his fantasy relevance. Didn't have a big day, but he did have the big catch for the Lions last week, 1 week after his benching. So that'll be interesting as well. And then just keep an eye on this Detroit backfield. Theo Riddick now injured. They have Justin Forsett in the mix. I don't think you're rushing to start Justin Forsett, but we do need to get some clarity on this Lions running game, and maybe it starts to come now that there's a new insertion, if you will.
Yeah, I'm done with Golden Tate. He's not going to be on any rosters for the rest of his life, as far as I'm concerned. let's just move on, though. Cleveland at Tennessee, 43.5 is the over-under. Tennessee favored by 7. The Browns are allowing an average of 8 receptions and 100 yards a game to tight ends. Now, I know, you know, Martellus Bennett certainly helped in that department, but this is a wheels-up game for Delanie Walker. I like DeMarco Murray. He's been better than any of us thought. It's almost like 2015 didn't even happen with DeMarco Murray. And then Mariota's a good streamer play this week. Where are you on this game, Arthur?
Yeah, I mean, you just nailed it. I'm on all three of those guys in a big way. I really think that Mariota has a chance to get going. I mean, obviously that happened last week in Miami with 4 touchdowns, already the third time that Marcus Mariota has scored 4 touchdowns in just a season and a half or less. So pretty impressive stuff there. But if you even look down the road, and I guess we could talk about this obviously on next week and 2 weeks down the road podcast, Mariota has a really soft schedule coming up. So he may be a guy that you want to go out and grab if you still can. On the Cleveland side, they got Cody Kessler back at quarterback. So I know you're streaming him, right, John?
You know, maybe not on the whole Cody Kessler thing.
He's actually been respectable. Not
he's
for
been
fantasy.
Okay.
Yeah, not for fantasy purposes yet, but he's brought some some semblance of stability, I guess, although he got hurt, so that really doesn't. That goes out the window. Yeah, let's just move on. There's nothing you're looking at on Cleveland. Maybe Terrell Pryor, maybe Isaiah Crowell bounces back, but nothing you're going to get excited about.
All right, we will get back to the game-by-game breakdown, but first, a message from our sponsor. How would you like to get all of your favorite NFL teams merchandise delivered straight to your doorstep? Check out FanEssentials.net. All you do is pick your favorite sports team, and every month you get your team's gear shipped right to your door. They find the sports gear so you don't have to. Each fan box comes packed with full with some amazing gear. Makes a great gift idea for any sports fan. Prices start at just $34.99. Visit FanEssentials.net and use promo code FANTASY. That's promo code FANTASY at checkout for 30% off your first month. Visit FanEssentials.net to get all the essentials you need. So, Arthur, we're taping this on Thursday. Jordan Reed still in the concussion protocol. Our next game is Philadelphia, Washington. 44.5 is the over-under. Philadelphia favored by 2.5. If Jordan Reed is out, this and I look, I'm a believer in this Philly defense, so I don't think I'm on anybody on the Washington side, especially if Jordan Reed is out. Where are you on this game on both the Washington side and the Philly side?
Yeah, I'm right there with you, John, because, you know, outside of Jordan Reed, who's the kind of, you know, their heavy lifter and the guy that Kirk Cousins looks to most frequently, you got a bunch of boom or bust players and DeSean Jackson and Jamison Crowder and even Matt Jones. And Kirk Cousins has been awful. I mean, talk about kind of wilting under the pressure of that franchise tag. It's been pretty ugly to watch thus far. Fortunately for Washington fans, they've bounced back, obviously, and are back in the mix with a 3-game winning streak. But I agree with you. I think that the Eagles defense is going to be pissed about the way last week played out, you know, losing for the first time, obviously, and getting ripped up by Stafford in the first half. So, yeah, I'm fading that whole Washington team, and I'd be very stunned if Jordan Reed did play just because of his past concussion history. This is disturbing stuff, and you know, I hate it because I'm a Jordan Reed owner, but more than anything, I hate it because I just worry about the young guy. He just signed that massive deal, and you know, at least his fifth concussion dating back to college. It's pretty troubling.
Yeah, definitely. On the Philly side, I like Ryan Matthews because Washington has been one of the worst defenses in the league against running backs, but you know, the Eagles have made it pretty clear they want to play Sproles, they want to play Barner, they want to play Smallwood, so he's not going to get as many touches as you want. I still think he's efficient enough, though, that Ryan Matthews should find a way either as your RB2 or into your flex spot this week. What do you think about Ryan Matthews against this Washington defense?
Yeah, I agree, John. I mean, Washington's allowing 5.1 yards per carry. That is the worst average in the NFL. And Matthews was real good until that fumble. So, you know, I don't think Doug Peterson's the kind of guy who's going to bury his veteran in the doghouse. That just doesn't make a lot of sense. The guy that got buried, actually, after Matthews returned was Wendell Smallwood. So, yeah, I think you're going to roll with Matthews. I think you're going to roll with Jordan Matthews. Sorry, they've got two Matthews. I got a little confused there. Josh Norman isn't going to be going into the slot to cover Jordan Matthews, so I think you're definitely going to be playing him. And then Zach Ertz, you might know better than me. What did Ertz do coming off the bye after missing several weeks? Was he productive? You know?
Ertz was my most frustrating DFS play this past week because he's going up against the Lions, who are terrible right. against tight ends. He ran 36 right. routes, which is, if you would have told me before that Ertz is going to go run 36 routes, I would have had 100% exposure to him. Carson Wentz threw him the ball 3 times. So, I don't know what the deal was, but, you know, he was there. I still think Ertz was a good play, Wentz has got to throw him the ball. So let's move on to the next one because there's an intriguing question in this game. Kansas City and Oakland, 47 is the over-under. Kansas City favored by 1 on the road. Jamaal Charles. So he came back 2 weeks ago, played very sparingly. Then the Chiefs had a bye, and Andy Reid coming off a bye is almost unbeatable, and they always yep. throw in some new wrinkles. Jamaal Charles, there's a story we just put up at ProFootballWeekly.com today that Jamaal Charles, in his own words, wants the coaches to take the training wheels off. But then later in the article, you see the word from offensive coordinator Brad Childress, sprinkle, which gives me a little pause. He's not talking about donuts. He's talking about usage for Jamaal Charles. So, Arthur, what are we doing with Jamaal Charles this week? I love him personally, but I want to know where you're at.
I love donuts, personally.
Well, we all do.
John, I don't understand that. Charles is in not the last year of his contract, but it's the last kind of prohibitive year of his deal. He's coming off the bye. He says he's 110%. I love Spencer Ware. I mean, I think the Chiefs might have the best backfield depth in the NFL, but what's not adding up here? I mean, I just don't get that at all. I've got Jamal Charles as my RB. Where's he at? I'm sorry. I know I have him in my top 10, and I'm still searching. I'm sorry. He is my RB10 this week. The Raiders haven't played a lick of defense yet this season, so you know, I maybe they're trying to throw the Raiders off their trail. I don't get why you wouldn't give him a healthy helping of touches.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're taping this on Thursday, so unless there's some real actionable information that comes out Friday or Saturday or Sunday morning, I think I'm starting Charles everywhere I've got him, and I'm certainly rostering him in DFS because he's never going to be he's 5,100. He's never going to be that cheap again. So. I think we're in agreement on Charles. I like Alex Smith against this defense. I like Macklin. Kelsey's fine, and on the Oakland side, you know, Cooper, Crabtree, Carr. I'm good with all of those. I'm not, you know, Marcus Peters has been great, but if Derek Carr is just going to keep throwing the ball, then I have no problem with the volume on the Oakland side.
No, nor do I. You're definitely going to play your studs. I guess my and just quickly, one more thing on Jamal Charles. You can't, if you're Spencer Ware owner, you can't cut bait now, obviously. He should be owned, I believe, in all leagues just because we still don't know what to expect from Charles and because Ware, again, is just such a capable backup and maybe even more than that. He had, 82 yards before the bye. So anyway, so hold on to Ware. But on the Raiders side, yeah, I mean, obviously you're going to, Crabtree and Cooper are both hot. Cooper had a chance to have a huge day last week and had a couple issues with the sideline there in the end zone, but still ended up having a really nice day. Crabtree's still on a roll. Carr has been great in the second half anyway, a little bit of a slow starter. But my question to you, John, is are we staying away from this Oakland backfield overall at this point? I was so excited about DeAndre Washington last week, only to see him get the exact same number of touches as Jalen Richard and not be nearly as efficient. So it looks like Murray could miss another week, but there's also another fullback in the equation near the goal line. What do you make of that situation?
If I'm looking towards backup running backs, I want volume. I want guys who are going to touch the ball, and you know, guys in a timeshare or a committee, you know, they have to be incredibly efficient. And like you said, Washington just wasn't efficient, and Richard, you know, he's okay, but they're not going to give him more than half the carries. So I'm staying away from the Oakland running back situation.
It's depressing.
It really is. Yeah.
Yeah, we expected that offensive line to be so great, and it really hasn't been yet. But obviously, Oakland's scoring a ton of points, so you just want to get some share of it. And right now, I don't know. I'm kind of with you. I'm scared. I'm a little gun-shy on Washington. But we should mention he was very efficient up until last week, so I wouldn't give up hope per se, but yeah, there's no one I like in that backfield this Sunday, which is unfortunate because the Chiefs aren't playing a whole lot of run defense right now.
All right, let's move on to the next game. This is a really interesting real football matchup, and I think a semi-interesting fantasy football matchup. Atlanta at Seattle, 45.5 is the over-under. Seattle favored by 6 at home. I wrote this a couple weeks ago that Atlanta really is struggling to stop tight ends, and I think it really is time that we need to start considering Jimmy Graham as an elite tight end option again. Arthur, where are you on Graham, and then where are you on the rest of this game? Because I think it's really just an intriguing game.
Yeah, you're right. The Falcons have surrendered 5 touchdowns to the tight end position. That is the second worst in the NFL. Jimmy Graham, I believe, has back-to-back 100-yard games prior to the bye. So, you're definitely going to ride him while he's hot. The Falcons have some issues in the secondary, certainly, even when they're healthy, and I'm not sure they are right now. So, Jimmy Graham is definitely back to must-start status, which is good. It's good to see because he's good for the game. But what I need to see, what will be good for my ego, is if Tyler Lockett starts performing. And I read some tweet yesterday, and I'm sorry, I don't remember where it was. Maybe it was Liz Matthews from ESPN, who tweeted that Tyler Lockett, or maybe it was John Pete Carroll, saying that Tyler Lockett was as healthy as he's been all season coming off the PCL injury. So he's the guy I am most curious about, because at this point, like you said, I think we know what to expect from Jimmy Graham, at least for now. Kristen Michael, same way. I mean, I think he's kind of earned his way into the circle of trust a little bit. Doug Baldwin is there, but I think there's room for another member, and I'm kind of thinking it has to be Tyler Lockett. What about you?
Yeah, eventually. I think Lockett's going to be much more important down the road. On this offense, I'm not rushing out. If you've got space to stash him, sure. But I think he's going to be able to be on your waiver wire for at least a little bit longer. I like C Mike this week. I'm with you on that. On the Atlanta side, how are you feeling about your boy Matt Ryan?
Well, he's done anything to tell me I shouldn't be feeling pretty good about him still. So I've got him, this is obviously a super, super tough situation going into Seattle, a well-rested Seattle team, but I still have a startable ranking on Matt Ryan. I believe he is my QB10. Sorry, bear with me. I've got him as my, QB11 this week. So kind of on the fringe. But anytime anyone wants to doubt Matt Ryan this year, all he's doing is making naysayers of him. So, yeah, pretty good look for Matt Ryan. Obviously, he is on a ridiculous, a historic pace, actually, in terms of yardage. His passer rating is the best in the NFL. It's been tremendous. And the way that Atlanta offense has spread out the wealth has been incredible. It's been Julio has a 300-yard game 2 weeks ago, but around that game is two like 30-yarders or even worse before that that bust out. So last week it was those running backs, especially as receivers. But I think Tevin Coleman and Devonta Freeman have earned their way into weekly starting consideration as well, obviously. But it will be a great test to see if Tevin Coleman's newfound receiving ability can translate against the speed that the Seattle linebackers possess.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. So let's move on to the next one. Dallas at Green Bay, 47.5 is the over-under. Green Bay favored by 4. Arthur, you wrote this up in the Pro Football Weekly insert looking at the matchup, and it's a really intriguing fantasy matchup. If you're a Zeke Elliott owner, you've been real happy so far. But now, going up against the toughest rush defense in the NFL, how do you see this one playing out? And Dez Bryant comes back this week. So I think he's an intriguing option, especially against the Packers, which have been a funnel defense so far.
Right. First on Zeke, obviously he's been terrific. He's on pace or close to the pace of Eric Dickerson's rookie rushing record. We'll see if he gets there. But we should mention, and I don't want to take anything away from what the Packers have accomplished so far, but I think it's been against the 30th, the 25th, and the 20th ranked rushing offenses, Jacksonville, Detroit, a bunch that haven't gotten anything accomplished. So this will be the first real test for them. And I think they can withstand it. I think they're going to be solid, but obviously Elliott's going to be in your lineup. I still got him as RB8 this week. So it's going to be fun. Strength versus strength. It's not unlike what we saw last week with obviously Atlanta going into Denver, except for now it'll be on the ground. And on the Green Bay side, there's another great test here because the Cowboys defense, I'm not a believer yet. I think they're top 10 in scoring, but I need to see more. And Aaron Rodgers seems a little agitated again. Another sub 50 or sub 60% completions last week, had a couple of interceptions, and everyone seems to be a little tense about that Packers offense. I have to wonder if this will be like 2 weeks ago before the bye when they just went absolutely bananas in the first half of the off that Lions defense.
Yeah, I'm interested to see because Rodgers, aside from that first half in Detroit, has been really average. So at home against a subpar defense, you're still starting Rodgers, but I think this week you might be a little happier.
And John, let me just quickly, I'm sorry, turn it back to you on Dez Bryant. If he is back in the lineup, and I don't think that's a sure thing yet, but I know he's back on the practice field. He returns to the site of the infamous catch, non-catch. I don't think Sam Shields is probably going to be playing either. That's the guy that was trying to cover him on that play. Are you going to have, are you going to be having trepidation like with Gronkowski earlier in the season? Is Dez going to be a decoy, or is he a guy that needs to be in lineups if he is active?
I think Dez is a guy that if he's out there, he wants the ball. I don't think Dez sees himself as a decoy, and he's got good rapport with Dak. So and like you said, a Packers defense, their secondary that has struggled. So I've got no problem rostering Dez this week.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. I'm in agreement.
All right, the Sunday night game, Indianapolis at Houston, 48.5 is the over under. Houston favored by 3 at home. Arthur, if Lamar Miller doesn't get in the end zone this week, I don't know what to do. This Colts rush defense is borderline historically bad. Lamar Miller's getting the touches. He's getting the volume. has not seen the end zone yet. I this has got to be the week, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. You know, like you said, the Colts defense isn't good. Although, interestingly, although it let up 522 yards of offense last week, it was what, only 22 points or something. So
I think that's more on the Bears than on the Colts defense.
Yeah, you're right. But then let's turn the tables. Do you have a lot more confidence in the Texans offense with Brock Osweiler? I mean, you know, it's not,
I want to, but I don't.
They're struggling to score as much as the Bears are. So. You know, Lamar Miller, it wasn't very good. It hasn't been very good the past few times out, but again, he's getting the volume and you're obviously going to have to roll with him. So yeah, it would seem to be a pretty solid start. I think I have him as what either RB, he's my RB3 this week. So yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about Miller's chances of not only finding the end zone, but finding a ton of production against that Colts defense.
And on the Colts side, they're pretty clearly going to speed the offense up. I think they realize the offensive line is really bad, so they're just going to play fast and try and get as much play as possible. So I like T.Y. Hilton this week, and I don't think Frank Gore is a terrible play this week either.
No, I mean, you hit it on the head. Obviously, the pace is what Colts fantasy owners want to be hearing, and T.Y. Hilton was terrific last week. I think Andrew Luck just realizes the more, you know, I can't really throw it to T.Y. too much. You wish, again, getting back to the Bears, that they'd realize that about Alshon. But, yeah, T.Y. is a good play. Dwayne Allen had a nice bounce back, although I think Houston is pretty tough on tight ends. And then, obviously, Andrew Luck, what, he's my QB5 this week. No, he's my QB6 this week. So, going to feel pretty good if you're a Luck owner, of course.
All right, let's move on to the Monday night game. The Jets at Arizona, 46.5 is the over-under. Arizona favored by 8. Our guy, Smokey Brown, I think this is setting up for a really nice day for him, and I think a nice outing for Carson Palmer as well. Where are you on this Jets-Arizona game?
Yeah, I'm glad you took it. Not definitely on John Brown. Michael Floyd has been disappointing, but even beyond that, I'm glad you took it a step further and said that this is the opportunity for Carson Palmer to kind of prove his doubters wrong, and he's coming off the concussion, said he feels good. He actually said he would have went last week if they were playing on Sunday instead of on the short week on Thursday Night Football. So this Jets defense is an absolute just, I don't have the word for how pathetic it has been, but especially when you look at the personnel, it's amazing, and I really like Todd Bowles. So I'm having a hard time kind of wrapping my head around what's going on with the Jets right now. But, yeah, you said it. That's a tough spot for them, and I do expect this is an opportunity for this Arizona offense to start looking like the Arizona offense and seeing if they can gain a little bit of momentum.
All right. Let's go to our bold calls, Arthur. Let's see if I'm going to – you know what? I'm just going to lead with you on bold calls. I told you to bring one, and I'm just going straight to you. And we'll see awesome. if you have one on tap.
Yeah, I've got two of them. I half gave away one of them just because in the matchup we kind of got to it. And it's not that bold, but it does speak to kind of just another fluky, weird fantasy football season that saying Todd Gurley is going to be the RB1 of the week, that's actually kind of bold, isn't it, John?
You know, it is kind of bold, actually.
And we got into the reasoning why. You said Haloti Ngata with the shoulder injury is going to be out. This Detroit Lions defense let Ryan Matthews go off last week. It's been letting everyone go off. That was the initial Jordan Howard coming out party. So I think that Todd Gurley finally turns it on and has a huge day. We'll say 150 yards from scrimmage and a couple touchdowns en route to being the RB1 of the week in Detroit as the Rams get back on track. And since I told you I had two, although I have a feeling I might be taking one from you here, I'm also going to say back-to-back WR1 weeks for Cameron Meredith. He was the 7th scorer at his position last week. Would have been even better without that late fumble. I think he finds a way to build on it because, as I said, the Bears aren't interested in force-feeding Alshon. They're not interested in scheming him open. And as long as that happens, I think Cameron Meredith is the huge beneficiary.
All right, that's bold. I like your bold calls. I'm going to go with a "Are you on drugs?" bold call. I'm just throwing this out here, guys. Cincinnati, New England. There are three tight ends that are interesting to me: Bennett, Gronk, and CJ Uzoma. You look at what New England's done against New England's defense has done against tight ends. That's the one place they sort of allow teams to feast. And they New England Bill Belichick defense. They're going to take away your best option. That's AJ Green. So I think CJ Uzoma ends up with more receptions than Marty or Gronk this week. That is my bullet call. I'm not saying he's going to end up with more points. I think he gets more receptions than both of them.
John, can I get some of the drugs that you are clearly on?
My guy's awesome.
Oh, no, that's good, man. I mean, you knew that they had to find a way to get someone going in the red zone. Maybe it'll be Uzomah. I've thought for a couple weeks it was possible. It looks like Tyler Eifert won't be out there again. Jamie Collins is banged up. So I think that the stars might be aligning for your bold call to be something more than a pipe dream, we'll call it.
He's also, like, that's a DFS bold call, too, because he's minimum salary in DFS. So I think he's rosterable in tournaments. So that's where I'm coming from. It that will do it for the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football Podcast. Remember, we are doing a live podcast October 19th at Goal Line Sports Bar and Grill in downtown Crystal Lake. It's 85 Brink Street in downtown Crystal Lake. Goal Line Sports Bar and Grill. Come hang out with me. Come hang out with Arthur Arkish, Hub Arkish, Kevin Fishbane. We're gonna give you all of our favorite fantasy plays of the week. We're going to break down Bears Packers. Maybe we'll hang around and watch Cubs NLCS Game 4. So come on out, Goal Line Sports Bar and Grill on October 19th from 6 to 8. And best of luck in your matchups this week.